First song is 318. First and last.
I love the Lord, for he died my soul to save. On Calvary, his dear life he freely gave. From realms above, Jesus freely came to die. Tell how he liveth again. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for letting us be able to approach your throne this morning, to be able to sing these songs of praise to you, to be able to learn from your word, and to be able to edify each other in this place this morning as a family, knowing that we are your children, a redeemed people. Father, we thank you most of all for your Son and the wonderful gift that he gave us in redeeming us the way he did. Father, it was such a wonderful gift, one that we could never be worthy of. We thank you that he thought so much of us that he gave his life, your one and only Son, that we might be with you one day and be able to approach your throne in this way. Father, watch over the elders of this congregation. We ask that you give them the wisdom that they need to shepherd us and to be able to do what they need to do to keep us as one family. Watch over the deacon as he's trying to serve those that are around us. May we give him all the help that he needs to be able to do what he needs to do in here in this in his job. Father, watch over us in our worship this morning, that we pay attention to the word, that we may listen to the word, and that it may prick our heart and call us to action. Help us to be the light in this community so that others may be saved as well. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song this morning, I've been preparing our minds for the Lord's Supper. But I know for one thing, without the Lord, I would not want to exist. So continuing on, we'll sing number 310. Just before we take you on the Lord's Supper. Again, we'll sing the first and last verse.
Jesus, keep me near the Lord. Just fountain, bring to all a healing stream. Flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be till my
You know, it would be, it's just human nature to want to avoid, you know, any pain, any humiliation, any suffering. You know, if someone were to come up to you and said they didn't want to have to deal with any of those things, you would pretty much completely understand why they felt that way. But as you read in Isaiah 53, you read of the suffering servant. And it gives you a glimpse and a picture of the suffering that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was going to have to endure. You know, it showed the humiliation, the pain, and ultimately he was going to give his life. And he was doing these things not because of something that he did wrong. He was without sin, but he was willing to take upon his shoulders to bear the burden of the sins of this world. So as we prepare our minds and prepare to partake of this Lord's Supper, let us reflect on that. Keep that in mind as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We have before us, they have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this opportunity to come together on this first day of the week, to gather around the Lord's table this morning, to be able to show our appreciation, Heavenly Father, appreciation to you for giving unto this world your only begotten Son, and for thy Son Jesus Christ, who was a man without sin, but was willing to endure the suffering, to endure this humiliation, the pain, and to give his life on that cross, becoming this perfect lamb without spot or blemish, Heavenly Father. And she's so thankful, Heavenly Father, for his love that he showed for this world, giving each and every one of us an opportunity, eternal salvation. And we pray at this time that as we're about to partake of this bread which represents his body, that we'll do so in a manner that'll be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to address your throne as we think about the gift that your Son gave us. Father, we thank you that his blood flowed from that cross, the love that was shown as it flows through us this morning, for we know it washes all sins away. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to be able to commune with you and to be able to remember him in this way. Clear our minds and help us to concentrate on those things that are of love and of grace. And as we do so, Father, we ask that it brings us closer to you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song of invitation, after the lesson this morning, will be number 495. 495. And Psalm 4, scripture reading and lesson is 494, right across the page. Again, the first and last. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in.
And then the light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cries. Answer by and by. Feel a little prayer for yearning. Part of the heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cries. Answer by and by. Feel a little prayerful yearning. Heart of the heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cries. Answer by and by. Fill a little prayerful yearning. Heart unto heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
The scripture reading for this morning's sermon will be from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Again, that's going to be Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, Lord, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation.
Good morning. Once again, God has truly blessed us to be able to assemble ourselves together this morning to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Just a reminder, there will be a benevolence meeting right after service this morning. Be down front if you are part of that benevolence or like to be a part of it. There will be a meeting right after service down front. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and, Lord, for your blessings. Once again, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us and our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather in your word the thing that I say. Lord, you get all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God of my salvation. much of Isaiah's ministry was spent warning his people of the coming judgment. It's not fun always being the heavyweight. How would you like to be a preacher trying to lead people back to God who are rebellious, who are indifferent? Preach to a people who hear the truth but reject it. As Isaiah looked around, there is little reason to smile, much less rejoice, because Isaiah was surrounded with more reasons to pout, to throw a pity party, than to praise. But when you get to chapter 12 of Isaiah, we are surprised by a burst of joy. You look at verse number 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou was angry with me, thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is also is become my salvation. How simply that truth of God sounds. But yet not everyone would agree. All people do not hold the truth of the scripture. And at times we don't even fear, love, trust in God above all things. Why not? Why do we turn away? Why are we so easily distracted by earthly attractions? Very simply, is because we are born with a sinful nature. Our Christian nature is in a constant battle with our sinful nature. Paul struggled with this. Even in Romans chapter 7, he said, while I'm trying to do good, evil is always present. There's a struggle going on between the spirit and the flesh. In Psalms 14, in verse 2 and 3, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They all are gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. As sinners from birth unto death, our clear thinking concerning Christ can be clouded. All too often, our earthly thinking is the very opposite of the mind of God. We are rebellious. We are sinful. We are wicked. We do not deserve forgiveness. We cannot buy eternity. But in spite of all of this, our gracious God is a forgiving God. We will sin again and again and again. But our God still forgives us again and again. And again, and this is a mystery miracle of God's comfort for sinners, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God's comfort for us is meant to comfort others. God's eternal words of forgiveness, life, and salvation are the comforting words we bring to others in times of trouble. And if there's any salvation to be found, it must be found in God. So this morning, what can we learn about God and my salvation? Number one, we can learn that he is the originator of salvation. Man could never design a plan of salvation that would be fitting in an eternity. Well, it is not in his nature. God is the designer. God is behind the plan of salvation. He is the originator. When it comes to salvation, we must put all of the emphasis on Almighty God, because that is where it's due. Not only is he the originator of salvation, but he's the orchestrator of salvation. Man would never come to God on his own. But the Bible makes that very clear. The Bible teaches us in Romans 3 and verse number 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. With this truth in mind, we can only come to one conclusion. God must be the divine orchestrator behind salvation. But then, God is the source of our salvation. Isaiah doesn't say, I am my salvation, but rather God is my salvation. Salvation is a work of God and not man. We are not saved by our own good deeds, much less by our own good intentions. Isaiah, he already knew this for sure, because when you look in Isaiah 64 and verse 6 and 7, he says, but we are all as unclean things, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind has taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquity. And then we love God. Why? Because God first loved us. God has done everything. Our salvation does not depend on what we have done. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit planned before the creation of the world, set in action, and carried out his salvation for you and I. But then we need to learn that Jesus is God's provision for your salvation. See, salvation is in a person by the name of Jesus. It's God's way, the only way of salvation. There is only one name to confess, and that's the name of Jesus. Peter preached this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 10 through verse 12, being known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even him, by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which had become the head of the corner. And then he ended up by saying, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus suffered the death that was meant for us. When he hung on the cross, Jesus became the object of God's wrath and judgment for our sins, so that we might see God's great love for each of us. Jesus became sin for us so that we might receive faith, his righteousness. And so we need to understand that not only we've looked at this, but this salvation must become your own personal possession. Notice what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, he didn't say your salvation, but God is my salvation. He made it personal. And you and I this morning must make it personal. God is my salvation. And if you want to experience God as your salvation, God has put you through some trying times. You remember the Israelites? Just like the Israelites had to go through the Red Sea and into Babylon captivity, you are going to be led into a complete slavery, a complete dead end situation. And by your words, by your actions, and just by being who you are, a sinner, you can't help yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot swim across the Red Seas of God's law. You cannot fight against the Babylonians and Egyptian army of God's wrath. You need a deliverance. You need to make God saying that God is my salvation. Make it personal this morning. Because he wants you to say, God is my salvation. God is my Jesus. He wants you to turn to Christ when every sin, every guilt, every problem, every ache, and every sorrow. He wants you to turn to Jesus, not just a last resort, but a first resort, a middle resort, and even the end resort. He wants you to turn to him. But what is the result? What is the results of all of this? What is the results of God being your salvation? It's in verse 3. In verse 3, he says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of your salvation. When Isaiah claimed the name of God as my salvation, he uncapped some of the wells of blessings. He says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. In the climate of Israel, water is an extreme valuable commodity. Without water, crops will not grow. People and livestock will dehydrate and die. Just as thirsty people rejoice in God's provision of physical water, so it is with joy that we draw water from the Lord's spiritual spring of blessings. Isaiah found a well in the name of God of our salvation and dropped He dropped the bucket and he found another well. He found another well. And these wells are filled with God's joy. We who are saved, we always have a reason to praise God of our salvation. Life may get us down from time to time. Problems may come into our lives from time to time, but those wells of blessings are always there. Let me tell you, let me think about the wells of blessings in your life as I began to come to a conclusion. In times of doubt, through Jesus Christ, you draw wells from water, from the wells of assurance and security. Rehearse in your heart, rehearse in your mind all the promises of God that secure our lives every day. Realize that they are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the amen to all the promises of Almighty God. In times of stress, through Jesus Christ, draw water from the well of peace and joy. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. Those who are weary, those who are weighed down with problems, cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. In times of despair, through Jesus Christ, draw water from the well of eternal life and hope. Think about the empty tomb on the morning of the resurrection. Because of Jesus, we have hope that goes beyond the grave. In times of need, through Jesus Christ, draw water from the well of provision and abundance. God has met our greatest need. In Jesus Christ, we have not just life, but we have abundant life. Learn to be content with what you have. Trust Jesus to provide for your needs, just as he has promised. But then in times of rejection, through Jesus Christ, draw water from the well of purpose and acceptance. We are accepted by God through Jesus Christ, adopted into his family. And if everyone in this world will reject us and they'll walk away, we'll still be left with the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because church, if God be for you, then who can be against you? Make God your salvation. Say to yourself this morning, God is my salvation, and I will trust him until the day that I die. And so the question I leave to you this morning, is God your salvation? You and I, you know that, and God knows that. And if he is not your salvation this morning, how can you make him your salvation? That's a good question. You come to him by hearing his word, by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Then go down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2, and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What church? The church that he set upon is a rock I build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What church? The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. What church? The church that he died for. He loved, he the savior of it, and he's coming back for it. And it's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Then you live. You live faithfully unto death. Every day knowing that God is your salvation. And when his life comes to an end, when God calls us from labor to reward, we can then hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou been faithful over a few things. Come and I'll make you ruler over many. God is not your salvation this morning. Make him your salvation as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Won't you come?
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings bestowed upon us, for allowing us to wake up and come here this morning to attend this worship service. We thank you for all the things we take for granted in life. We thank you most of all for your Son, who died that cruel death for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for the message that's been brought to us this morning by Brother Skippy. We ask that you help us take that message, use the message, apply it to our lives each day, and be with those who are not able to attend. Be with all those who are on the sick prayer list and those who may be traveling, those who are bereaved, those who need your love, your guidance, and support. We ask you watch over us and keep us safe and in thy care as we go throughout the day and throughout the week. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.